I had asked tonight for my best friend, and I want to introduce him as this. A guy who I met in high school, his name is Joel Milligan, and he was from, as far as I knew, he was a Yankee to me. He was from Indiana, and we were all from the South, we were from Florida, and so here this kid came in our 10th or 11th grade year, I forget exactly which year, and I just kind of saw him as a threat because he was really good at basketball, better than me, and tried to steal my girlfriends and all that kind of good stuff. So I promised I'd make it short, but we began to form a bond, and we became very, very good friends. I only really have one friend that I call my best friend, and that's Joel. Went to high school and college together. I was telling some earlier that we are best friends, and our wives are best friends as well. So we have a really unique friendship, and he lives in Jacksonville. He's the youth pastor and actually family pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And so we've been communicating all these years, giving each other a hard time. For the record, I am still the one-up champ in golf, and that stands for several years now. But for you guys, I am excited for him to come and speak to you because he has a pastor's heart, a youth pastor's heart. He loves teens, and I know he's going to share from you something that will be very practical for you. So by all means, open up your new gifts. Pastor Joel, would you please come at this time and bring the word to our students? Thanks, buddy.
I guess it's okay for me to call Pastor Chad my BFF. Are we allowed to say that? Maybe. Okay, maybe not. No, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for your pastoral staff and their friendship with us up there at Trinity. And I know Pastor Todd and our pastor, Tom Messer, have formed a unique bond. And I appreciate those of you who have been praying for him. And it's just neat to see how God has worked through his cancer surgery. And we just got word back about a week ago that he is free of cancer. So just so thankful for that. Thankful for all you and you praying for him. But he wanted me to make sure that I told you all that he is just so thankful and encouraged by this church and the difference that you all are making here in this community for the gospel's sake. So he wanted to make sure to let you all know that. But seniors, tonight is about you all. It is, I know some of you parents were holding strong until that video played. And then I heard the sniffles kick in, right? I've got a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old, and I'm watching that video choking back because I'm like, that's going to be my kids one day. They're going to be on that screen. So I know it's been an emotional roller coaster for parents. And I know students, seniors, I know you're excited. I've had the opportunity to work with students for over 15 years, and every year this is such a special, special time. So I've been praying about really just, I just want to share just a few things with you tonight. And just to let the church know, this is not just for the seniors. I really truly believe this is for all of us in our stage of life and where we are. I believe we all can gain something from what God has for us tonight. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 4. And as we dig into God's word and pull out some practical tips that can help you seniors and that can help us all in our decision-making as we follow God's will, I was reminded of a book that I used to love reading when I was a kid. And these books, there were a series of books. They were actually called the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Is there anybody that used to read the Choose Your Own Adventure? Yes, thank you. All right. I'd showed this to Pastor Chad, and he's like, what is that? He had no idea what it was. Choose Your Own Adventure. So if you all have never read a book like this, it's amazing. You should try it sometime. You read the book, and when you get to an end of a certain page, it tells you, if you want to do this, go to page 24, but if you want to do this, go to page 45. And depending on what you choose, depends on if the story ends or if it continues on. Okay, really cool. I used to always jump ahead and cheat and try to find out which one I should pick. But I thought just to kick things off tonight, I would let one of you seniors choose your own adventure real quick from the book. I found this up at Trinity, Secret of the Ninja. Why not, right? So Karina, I met you first when I walked in tonight. So once you stand up, I'm going to have you choose your own adventure really quick. Page 67, okay, you and your friend Nada are hanging out with a samurai, okay? And you are about to run into the Yakuza, which those are the enemies, all right? So you're going to have a choice here. It says, we'll help you defend the village, Nada says. Don't be ridiculous, the man replies. You're not samurai. Even if you were, we still wouldn't have a chance. We have our own means, Nada says. The samurai shakes his head. You can escape with me if you'd like. I'll try to protect you. But only a fool would stay and face the Yakuza. Nada, however, doesn't move. It's up to you to say something. Here's your choices, all right? If you say to Nada, we should escape while we can, turn to page 28. But if you say to the samurai, stay and defend the village, turn to page 59. So would you like to escape or stay and defend the village?
Stay and defend.
Okay, she wants to stay and defend the village. Turn to page 59. The samurai hangs his head. Many samurai are proud to die in noble failure, but not I. However, since you are both willing to stay and fight, I will join you. Nada, you need to defend us. The samurai is then killed by the Yakuza, and so are you. Sorry, I apologize. That was not the best choice there. Secret of the Ninja. What's interesting about books like this is I think when we all look at God's will and we read about what God wants us to do with our lives, especially as a senior, I guarantee that you have probably over the past 3 weeks to a month have tried to answer this question, and you've probably heard it multiple times. So what are you doing next year? Right? You've heard it. And you maybe have an answer that you've given. Maybe some of you have said, I don't know. But what I feel in just watching those pictures and hearing from Pastor Chad, that you desire to do what God has for you. And a lot of times when we're seeking out God's will, we tend to treat it like a choose your own adventure book. And we think, okay, there's two or three choices out there. If I choose the right one, then I'm going to have peace and joy, and God's going to bless me. But if I choose the wrong one, I'm going to have destruction and get killed by the Yakuza and the samurai, and it's just not going to go well. And it creates anxiety in us, and it almost feels like choosing door number one or door number two. Or door number three, you may be saying, should I take that job? Should I go to this university? You know, should I begin a relationship with this person? And you're wondering, what should I do? You know, following God's will is an incredibly important step in the Christian's life. And there's actually a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you've ever read his biography, a German pastor, just an amazing story. But here's what he said about God's will. He said, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than it is about courageously and actively doing God's will. So let's look at Proverbs 4 just for a couple of minutes. I want to read some verses to you and give you some observations for you as seniors and for all of us here tonight on how we can follow after God's will in our life. Proverbs 4, I want to start in verse 10. This is Solomon. He's writing to his son. And in verse 10, he's giving some instruction here. A dad speaking to his son, he says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Some of you parents are probably feeling that with these kids. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Let's skip ahead to verse 23. Solomon says here, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God, I pray that you'd be with us just in this moment, that you'd speak through me and give me a truth to share tonight, God, that can truly change us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Three observations from knowing God's will for your life. Here's the first one. God's will is more like follow me than it is choose door one, two, or three. God's will is more like follow me than it is choose door one, two, or three. That passage we just read referred to God's will six or seven times using these types of words, a path or a way, a path that you get on. It didn't talk about a decision. It didn't talk about an open door. It didn't talk about a choose-your-own-adventure novel. It said a path or a way. You see, in the Bible, the will of God is really spoken of as a path. Many of us seek the will of God, and we seek it as if it's just an answer to one of our questions. If it's a way that we should choose that door, this door, or the next door, kind of like that good old show that many of you watch, and it's actually still on, called Let's Make a Deal. And you choose door one or door two or door three, or you choose what the announcer has beside him. And if you choose door one, you get the new car. But door two is a pet pig, and door three is spicy hot Cheetos. I don't know. It's something that you're like, I didn't want. I wanted the brand new car. But I want to encourage you seniors that God's will is, it's not so much choosing that open door or having that peace. It's following God down that path that he has for your life. It is a path that you walk. It's a lifestyle. It's a pattern of behavior. It's a way of thinking. It's things that you begin to love and pursue. You see, because every open door that we find in our lives doesn't necessarily mean that that open door is from God. Every open door that comes and every decision or choice that we make, just because it's open and it's working out, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the way that God wants you to go. I mean, think about it. I heard a preacher once say this, you know, if every open door was from God, then Jonah knew he should have went to Nineveh, but instead he went to purchase the ticket to Tarshish to go the opposite way. And can you imagine him standing there at the ticket booth saying, God, if it's your will, just make a ticket available for Tarshish. And a ticket is now available. He's like, thank you, God. I know this was the direction that you wanted me to go. Of course not. That's not how it was. Every open door is not an open door from God. That's why it's so important that we are following him every single day down that path that he has for our lives. Now, I know that there's times that God opens doors and there's times that he gives us peace, but we do that in the context of wisdom. And I know you may be saying, well, if I don't choose this door, what happens? And if I don't go down this path, am I not going to meet that person I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with? Am I not going to get the education that I should get? But let me point you to another verse that we just read, verse 18. It's such a comforting verse. It says this, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You just go back a chapter. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what? Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct what? Thy path. Thy path. It's not so much of choosing that door. It is following Jesus, following him on a daily basis. You see, wisdom is something that we should seek, and we should follow after, and we should hold on to. We shouldn't wait on God to tell us to do something that he's already commissioned us to do. Follow him. Here's the second observation quickly from Proverbs that I think is so powerful for you as a senior stepping out in life. The second thing I notice here is that the path you are on determines your destination. Now, it sounds so obvious, and there's actually a book written about this, The Principle of the Path. But the path you are on determines where you're going to end up. I've actually heard this said that what we are experiencing now in our life, whether it's financially, whether it's relationships, whether it's education, is a result of what we have done in the past 90 days and the decisions that we have made to put us in the position that we are now. Because that path that we are on determines what? Where we will end up. Now, I've made many mistakes in my life as a youth pastor, but one of the biggest ones I always make is I get lost on every youth trip we go on. I can't help it. I have a horrible sense of direction. My wife always, you know, I pull into McDonald's and I eat and I get out and I come to the, like going back out onto the road and I can't remember which way to go. It's terrible. My wife's like, this way. It's bad, but it happens on youth trips, so I rely heavily on GPS. Let me just tell you, that's not the greatest way to live, especially on a trip one time we took to Washington, D.C., and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and the GPS said turn right, and I followed it, and it did not take us to the interstate. It took us down a back dirt road, which I thought was some kind of shortcut, and we ended up down this dirt road with this, I'm not doing this pastoral exaggeration, this is what really happened. There was a cabin that was down at the end of the dirt road with a light on, and the kids sat up because they wondered what was going on. And one of the kids looked at that cabin and said, I've seen this in a movie. We're going to die. I know it. I know it. And it got all scared. It was terrible. But it was because I followed the GPS. Why? Because the path that I was on led me to my destination. You see, seniors, you can have the best intentions and you can intend to follow after God and you can intend to pursue his plan for your life. But it is not the intentions that end you up in the destination where you're going to be. What is it? It's your direction. It's your direction. That's a choice that you make. You can have the best intentions, but it is your direction that determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. So as I'm looking at this, I want to do one thing that I think is going to give us a better picture, and then I'll close it out with another thought. But this is like the youth pastor in me that I want to really prove this point. Because a lot of times in our lives, even as adults, we can feel like we are going in the correct direction. We can feel like we are heading in the right way. And we tend to find out that, oh, I wasn't going in the right direction. I had a wrong sense of direction like myself. So real quick, I want everyone to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, I want you to think about your sense of direction, about where you are right now in this room. Now, some of you may be really good at this. Some of you may not be so good. But I want you to think about where you are in a sense of direction of north, south, east, and west. All right? Okay. Close your eyes, no cheating. Everyone right now, point north. Close your eyes, no cheating. I want you to be as honest and as real as possible. Everyone right now, point north. All right, keep your arm where it's at. Keep your eyes closed. Now, when I say open your eyes, don't move your arm, because the temptation is you're just going to move it because you think you're wrong. All right, wow, some of you are pointing in the complete opposite direction to some. All right, 3, 2, 1, open your eyes. According to my phone and my compass, north is that way. Some of you seniors were pointing at me. Now, that's a simple illustration, but I think it's important for us to understand that the only way that we can make sure that we are on the right path takes us back to that first point of following God, of following Jesus with our life. In fact, that verse that I really paused on, verse 23, gives us an incredible picture of what it means to follow after God. Verse 23 says this, keep thy heart, that word keep there means to guard, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. In the margin of my Bible, I wrote this down. I don't remember when I wrote it, but it says this, be careful what you love. Be careful what you love. Class of 2019, be careful in your life what you choose to love. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Guard it. Protect it. Why? Out of it come the issues of life. In fact, that's my third observation here. The condition of your heart determines the direction of your path. See, I know being a part of this church, I know you've been taught and you've been discipled, and I've talked with Pastor Chad many times about what he's been teaching students and sharing with you, and you've heard many people in this room right now have pointed you in the direction of God, but now you're stepping out, and you're going to have to make some decisions on your own and some choices. And I'm telling you, from God's word, as Solomon tells his son, keep thy heart with all diligence. Be careful what you love. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. And if there's anything I've experienced in my 39 years on this earth, is that my heart, out of control of the Spirit And my heart, when it is controlled by the flesh, is an idol-producing factory. And if I don't control it, and if I don't watch out, if I don't allow the Spirit to come in, it will continue to produce these idols. And sometimes they're not necessarily bad things, but they pull me away from God's call in my life. And they pull me away in a direction that I shouldn't be going. But that you would guard your heart with all diligence. I'm not talking about a behavior modification where you just say, I'm just going to do better. I'm just going to try hard when I'm in college. I'm just going to do my best to behave, because that only lasts for so long, right? Adults, can't we agree with that? It's not about behavior modification. But I think if there's anything you've learned from this church as they preach God's word, it is about a heart transformation. And when that heart changes and you allow God to come in and change your direction, that's what determines the destination. That's what puts you on the path. You see, I can keep, I love to hike and I just love to go out and go on the Appalachian Trail and just hike for days, and it's so much fun. And that doesn't sound crazy, but one of the key things you need on the trail is water. And when you go to pump water out of the river, if I just went down and I scooped up water, no matter how hard I tried to scoop it in the proper way, there's a guarantee there's some bacteria in that water, and there's a guarantee that I'm going to get really sick. I can go to different parts of the river and try to figure it out, but it's not going to work. What do I need? I need a filter. I need something to purify that water so when I go deep and I go and scoop out that water, that it is good to the soul. We read about Jesus, and as he said, I'm going to give you a water that you'll never thirst again, a water of eternal life. Graduates, I encourage you, not just one choice and not just one decision, but daily, to reach down into that well and pull of that water that Jesus freely gives you. Not behavior modification, but heart transformation. Here's three things I want to leave you with. You say, how can I make sure that I am living in God's will? Proverbs 2 talks about it. Here's the first step, is to know God's word, to engulf yourself in that awesome gift that Pastor Chad just gave you, and to allow it to dive deep into your life and allow it to be the source and the instruction manual. Verse 1 of Proverbs 2 says that you need to treasure up the commandments. Here's the second thing, listen to wise people. God has put some incredibly wise people in your life, and it's called your parents. Right now, I remember being a senior, you may think, they're not as wise as they think they are. I think I know a little bit more than them, but I'll help you out. In just a couple of years, you're going to look back and you're going to say, Mom and Dad knew a whole lot more than I thought. Let me encourage you now, listen to them. They love you more than anyone else could, and they want to give you wisdom. And they want to be there for you to talk through situations. Listen to godly people, pastors and youth pastors. And then here's the third thing, is just to bathe your life in prayer. Let it be a two-way communication between you and God. Proverbs 2, verse 3 says, to call out for insight and to raise our voice for understanding. You see, the truth is, class of 2019, the truth is, everyone in the room tonight, is that God does have a path and a plan for us. And it's not about choosing those doors and hopefully you get it right and hopefully you're not. It's not a choose your own adventure where you choose wrongly and you're in trouble. It is a path that we live on. And daily we follow after God. Seniors, if you do that, and if you daily pray and engulf yourself in God's word and listen to wise people, that path that you're on is going to lead you to the correct destination. And you can have confidence that I'm doing what God has called me to do with my life. And let me help you out. There's no better place to be, no better place to be than right in the center of God's will. So I'd like to close out just my part this evening by just saying a special prayer for each of you seniors. I know you've got many decisions to make. I know all of you have yet to walk across the stage and get your diploma, and you're still making choices on what God wants you to do. But let me just pray that God will give you wisdom, that this will be an exciting time in your life, and it'll be neat to see and look back what he does over the next few years. Let's pray tonight. God, we come before you knowing and believing God, that you have good plans for each one of us. God, I'm thankful for the families represented in here this evening. God, and for these graduates. God, I pray just a special blessing on them. Lord, that you would give them wisdom. God, that they would hold on to it. God, that you would allow them to guard their hearts, to be careful what they love and pursue after. God, that it would be your will, not by their own understanding, but God, that they would trust you. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when life gets hard, even when they face difficult circumstances and they don't know what to do. Lord, I pray that you give them the confidence just to simply, daily trust you. And your word tells us that, that anyone will be a disciple of yours and to follow after you, that we just daily take up our cross and we follow after you. I pray for these graduates, they would do that. I pray for this church that they would surround these seniors and encourage them, hold them accountable over the next few weeks and months and even years. They would pray for them and encourage them as they follow God's plan for their life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joel. And you guys give Pastor Joel a hand for coming all this way and bringing a challenge. Very practical and helpful for all of us. So take that to heart. I want to share a few thoughts with the students, but more so I want to share it with the church. Before I ask Pastor Todd to come, and our parents of our seniors are going to come shortly, and we're going to have a special time of prayer over them. We've heard it said, I've talked about it, Pastor Todd has talked about it, and it's been a statistic that's been well known throughout the past 10, 20 years of church life, and that is that 70 to 80% of students, that when they graduate, when they become an adult, that they leave the church, and if they come back, maybe it's in their 30s, maybe when they have children, maybe they find value in what they were taught and want their children to experience the same thing. And I hated hearing that. I really did. I struggled with that for years because I thought, man, that just basically, you almost had to kind of seemingly give into that, that that was just the way that it was going to be, and try your hardest. It didn't matter what you did, that it was just going to happen. And I struggled with accepting that, and I struggled with, what could I do? What could we do as a church? Now, that's a national average, and you know, you can't always control that, what happens, and there's always going to be some exceptions to that. But I begin to really struggle with that, and I've had many a conversation with Pastor Todd about what you could do to help try to fight against that. Not that it was just the number you were shooting for, but nonetheless, this year, this past Sunday, we sat all of our teens down in Sunday school in our class, and we had a special Sunday for them where we wanted to honor our seniors and kind of give them a chance to share a few things. If you had some wisdom that you would pass along to younger students, what would that be? And just some funny moments where we got to share with them. And so I'm thinking about what I just shared about this whole number. And in my mind, I'm looking at these students who were sitting here. We have 8 total graduates this year. Only one was not able to be here tonight, Jacob Borgia. And I was looking at these seniors, and I began to think, what will happen to these 8 seniors? Will we see 80% of them leave the church, or 70, or whatever? But as I began to think about something, as I began to hear them talk and share a little bit of their story, I began to try to do the math. Did you realize that 6 out of the 8 seniors that are represented here tonight, 6 of them got saved in some way, shape, or form through the youth ministry in the church here? 6 out of 8. And I began to go down the line and think, I know I got to lead 1 or 2 of them to the Lord myself. I know that some of it was at camp for some students. Some was at a winter retreat. Some was with a small group leader or a youth leader. Some may have been at a winter retreat that we held. Just various different things in some way, shape, or form. Now, I don't give you that statistic to kind of say, well, that disproves the number. But we have tried very hard within our youth ministry to do things to help impact the lives of students. Yes, salvation is number one. We enlist students to become believers. Our goal is to give the gospel. But the second goal is to equip them to become disciples and try to have a personal relationship with them, getting to know them, putting them with a small group leader, trying to disciple them, develop them, and get them to a point to where I have a dream that I shared with Pastor Todd. I said, I would love to see 50% or more of our students that graduate from Faith not just go to church like when they graduate, that they would be committed to the local church, to Jesus Christ. I believe we will exceed that number, but I believe that that's a number that I'm going to start to shoot for, and I know I'm not going to be able to. We can never control what someone does, right? You never get to control what someone, their future is, and make them do anything. We know that, but I believe that the youth ministry period is a very pivotal time, as you've heard Pastor Todd say numerous times, about the age of when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior and how important that time is. And take great, I guess, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but I love youth ministry, and I love teenagers, and I love you guys, and I love the memories that we've made and the time we spent together, and hopefully more than anything, the relationship that you now have with the Lord because of your time here, but also your parents and your leaders pouring into you, trying to push you and sort of strive you to go toward that place. And so in light of those thoughts, I don't mean to try to bring a negative light at all to it. I'm excited about you guys. I'm excited about the future and what God's going to do in your life. My simple charge to you would be don't just go to church. Follow Jesus Christ, and you will love His church, and you will serve, and you will never disconnect from it. So continue to follow Him, and continue to be a part of His mission, which is not only being a disciple, but make disciples. I'm going to ask our seniors, if you would, go ahead and put your stuff down. I want you to stand, and I'm going to ask all the parents of the seniors to come at this time. I want you to stand around your students. Our pastor, senior pastor, is going to come at this time, and he's going to pray over not only you guys individually as students, but this is really a prayer, too, over you as a family, because I think you all know that just because graduation comes, that doesn't mean that parenting ends. I think, if anything, it gets a little bit more needed, and the questions and the help and all of that. And so I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Todd. Yeah, spread out and make a little room there, and he's going to share a few words and spend some time praying over you guys as families. Pastor.
Thank you, Chad. Well, parents, you made it, and they're still alive. They're still living. To the moms and dads for just a second, congratulations. This has not been an easy journey by any stretch of the imagination. Angela and I know full well how difficult it is to raise children and to see them become young adults and then see them turn into adults. This morning in our 11 o'clock service, we had a baby dedication for Chiago and Erica, and they are just starting their little journey with little Isabella. And I told them that children need to be prepared and they need pointed. And the last thing I said was that at some point, they need to be propelled, they need to be released. And tonight, in some small way, you are releasing your child. They are entering into the world of adulthood. They are entering into the world of making decisions on their own. And I will tell you from firsthand experience that you're not going to like every decision they make. You're not going to be supportive of every decision they make. That's okay. Please don't sacrifice your relationship over something that you can learn to disagree over. Always work at maintaining a loving home and a loving relationship. And remember, they're always going to be your little girl or your little boy. That's just the way it is. But a word of advice, don't always call them that in public, okay? One more thing. Your kids, your children, always need to see Jesus in you. Always. You're always going to be the first one they're going to want to call. They're always going to be the one that they're going to say, I want to tell Mom, I want to tell Dad. I want them to know. Keep that relational line of communication open and vibrant and active. I can't stress to you, parents, enough. You've done a great job. Here they are in church on a Sunday night. You are to be commended publicly. Amen, church. And to the students, I want you to know how so very proud I am of all of you. I have watched many of you for years. Some of you, I was thinking when you walked across tonight, I just can't believe it. It's so hard to believe. All of you, I've just seen God do so many wonderful things in your life, and I'm proud of you, and I'm thankful for all of you. And I want you to know Faith Baptist Church stands with you. We love you. We're excited about what God has for you in the future. We hope you'll come back and be a part of this church, be a part of this body life. But wherever you go, there is a church for you to serve in. Take to heart what you've been taught, not only in youth group, but through your parents, through your school, wherever God has for you. Please go out into this world and be a light for Jesus. Be hope and lift up the name of Christ, because there's a world that needs to know there's hope, and you guys carry it with you. Let me pray for you all. Father, I'm so thankful tonight for these parents, for these students who are here that are now crossing the threshold. Lord, this is a huge adjustment coming in the lives of these families who are here tonight. This is a huge transitional moment as they will adjust to life being different. And I pray that God, as some of these parents will experience an empty home for the first time, a quiet house, there'll be moments of looking back and wishing things could have been done differently, but realizing that your grace is sufficient and remembering that there's a future ahead. I pray that the void that will be there, as many of these students will be leaving the home and heading off to school and vacating the premise, so to speak, that, Lord, you'd unite their hearts together, that you'd strengthen them, that they would stay pure, that they would stay right before you, that they would find a small group, they would find a church, they would find other Christians, Lord, that they can connect with. You didn't wire us to live life alone. Lord, we need one another. And so I pray that the principles that have been taught and poured into them these many years, Lord, that they would draw upon them, that they would be strengthened by them, that they would stand upon them. That, Lord, even in the midst of anxiety and overwhelming circumstances, when the stresses of life are hitting these young people, that they would stop and they would run to that Bible that they've been given tonight, and that they would find hope and truth and strength. Thank you for, Lord, family, and thank you for friends. Thank you for the body of Christ, that we can surround these families tonight and love them and encourage them. And as these young people are released from the bow tonight, as they begin to go hit the mark that you have for them, God, strengthen them for the journey, encourage them on the way, and may they be a light in this very dark world for you. Thank you for their lives. Thank you that we've had a part in it. We praise you, for it's in Christ's name. And together we said, amen.